You pray with me for a second. Heavenly Father, use me as your vessel this morning. Let your words speak through me. And we ask, Lord, that you would silence any voice within us but yours. Let this message pour out over your people. Let your truth reign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a significant step in any relationship, meeting your significant other's family. Typically, this isn't like a huge ordeal because, you know, they might live down the street or a couple of miles away or maybe even 30 to 45 minutes away. Right, Travis? Well, for Tandy and I, it's a little bit more like a vacation. The reason why I say that is because Tandy's family lives in Jacksonville, Florida, and Warner Robins, Georgia. So, Easter week, I happened to have the entire week off from school because we didn't have any snow days, and we decided to take a trip to Florida. So, we booked our flight to Jacksonville on Allegiant Airlines, and Allegiant Airlines is the only airline that flies nonstop to Jacksonville, so that's why we booked it. And it was supposed to take off around 10:30 in the morning. Well, we get through airport security around 8:30 like you're supposed to, and we get to the gate, and we look out the window, and the plane, the entire front is off of it. Not good. Not good. So we wait, and we wait, and we wait, and this lovely lady comes over the loudspeaker and says, "Your flight has been delayed." And we waited. We waited. A couple more hours later, it continued to be delayed. But it's okay, because they compensated with us with vouchers, with food vouchers, for $8. Which bought us roughly a pop, and yeah, that's about it. So we decide, so the announcement comes on that we're going to take off around 9:45 that night. We'd been in the airport all day, and we finally get on the plane around 9:30. I don't know if you ever had turbulence in the air, but it's not enjoyable. And of course, we hit turbulence. I don't like turbulence, but Tandy really doesn't like turbulence. We land. We get our bags. No problem. We're there. We've made it. The next day, we're gonna meet Tandy's family. It's all gonna be good. Get our bags. We call the taxi. Tandy had already set up the taxi to come pick us up, and we were ready to go. And we have been keeping them informed the entire day with our delays. And so we call the taxi. They say they're sending somebody to the airport. 10 minutes pass. We call again. Still sending somebody to the airport. They'll be there. 20 minutes pass. Tandy gets a call on her cell phone. She puts it on speaker so I can hear. So in his deep baritone voice, the guy on the other end of the phone goes, "I see you." Tandy goes, "Who is this?" And it was Moses. No joke, his name was Moses, from the taxi company. So we had to walk a short distance to our taxi, and Moses is special. He was dressed professionally. If you take the belt that could have wrapped around him three times, and the wrinkly white shirt, and he drove a taxi van. So we go to put our bags in, and Tandy gets, we go to open the door, and the door's locked. Turns out the door's broken. So we go over to the other side, and we open up the door, and there's exactly one seat in the van. It's 12:45 in the morning at this point, and we have still not departed the airport for the hotel. So I told Tandy to sit in a seat, and I asked Moses if I could sit shotgun since there were no seats available, and he tells me the seat doesn't go back up front since it's holding the GPS and the fare calculator. Whatever. So here I am, crammed up in the front seat of my van, of this taxi van. I look over and I notice that the check engine light is on and the oil change is due. Have you ever had a day where somewhere you felt like people were out to get you? And I think sometimes whenever that stuff happens, you tend to get angry. You tend to get frustrated. You tend to have a short fuse, especially for short fuse with the people that you love. You know, I can say this. Tandy and I sometimes get a little bit hot-tempered at one another. And it's not because we don't love each other. It's because it just happens. We get frustrated. So just a few moments ago, I read scripture from the epistle book of James. And throughout the entire book of James, James the Just, as he's referred to in the scripture or in the scholarly books, was Jesus' brother. And he fills us in with some wise teachings about faith in our lives. In this particular chapter, James starts by discussing arguments. James begins by saying, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires, the battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight." I want you to think back to the last argument or disagreement you had with anybody. Was it the result of your selfishness or your desires? We're all born so selfish. I mean, I had Reese and Paxton up here, and surprisingly, she didn't tell me it was her blanket, but we have 1,000 toys at our house, and they can tell you whose every toy is. As we get older, we don't lose that selfishness, which is the reason why we still have arguments and disagreements. It just tends to get covered up in many situations. It's not like I don't want a new car still. It's not like I don't want a new phone or new golf clubs or whatever the case may be. It's just not as much of a priority to me. And those of us who have children in the room, it doesn't matter how old those children are, your selfishness sometimes gets masked by your kids. I was sitting at lunch this week with one of my fellow teachers, and he looks at me and says, "You know, TJ, there's not a day that goes by that I don't do something with my kids that I really don't want to do. But I do it anyway because I love them." James recognizes that our selfishness extends to how we interact with God. He continues, "You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." I went to Spirit Night with a couple buddies of mine. And after the game, they have some Pirates come out and speak about their faith. And this particular night, Clint Hurdle, who was the manager at the time, came out and spoke. He was one time a professional baseball player, and he talked about how he was developing a relationship with God. He said as a player, he used to use God like an ATM. He called it God Cash, and how his relationship has evolved and changed since then. He described times as a player when he went 4-for-4 with 4 runs batted in, and how he would sing God's praises, and times where he was at an 0-for-20 slump, and then he'd just pray that he'd get a hit. You know, sometimes I think about some things that people say, whether it's whether it's another teacher, a coworker, a spouse, maybe even your child, and you say, "Wow, that's a really interesting way of presenting something." This ATM reference really hits home for me. I rarely go to the ATM. When I do, I need some money. I don't go to the ATM when I don't. And when I do go to the ATM, I'm not spending any time there. I just get my money and I go. And sometimes that's how we treat our relationship with God. When things are good and we're being blessed in abundance, whether it's the birth of a child or a grandchild or whatever the case may be, we go to the ATM and we get some God cash. When things are bad, maybe a family member or a friend or a spouse is sick or receives some bad test results, or maybe you get in a fight, or there's an issue at work, we go to the ATM and get some God cash out by praying and seeking for God's guidance and healing. But like Clint Hurdle, some of us aren't consistently making deposits to the ATM when things in our lives aren't really good or really bad. Well, what is this God cash stuff? He's referring to reading the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:13 says to devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Spending time with God in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says rejoice always and pray without ceasing. And spending time with other followers or people that are going to build you up with God's armor. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. In other words, the three words that I think define why you're here today. Evangelism, which is the desire to spread the word. Discipleship, which is the desire to be obedient to what Jesus has asked you to do. And fellowship, which is the desire to be with others in the process. I think every church in America has something or some things that they are intentional about. For some churches, they're intentional about eating. For others, it's Bible study. For others, it's hymn sings. And I've been blessed to be a part of two different church families that have been intentional about completely different things because of the sizes of their church. But they both drive to the heart of what Jesus wanted the church to be. New Life, the church I now attend in Saxonburg, is intentional about mission work. And they're intentional about small groups. Their model is to share, grow, and live the new life in Jesus with the world, one person at a time. And they're intentional about the world part. Right now, we have a mission team in India. They've already been to Cuba this year. Last year, we went to Myanmar and Cambodia. And they're incredibly intentional about this idea of one person at a time. Matthew 18:20 says, "When two or more are gathered in my name, I am with them." New Life makes a priority. They are intentional about small groups worshiping together. There's small groups for the elementary students. There's small groups for the junior high and senior high students. I currently lead a group of eighth grade boys. They're intentional about it. There's small groups for senior high students. There's upwards of 50 different small groups that are offered to adults. This past fall, over 600 people were part of a small group. New Life is intentional about small group ministry. And rightfully so, the church is so large, you don't know as many people. So it's important to have a small group to fellowship with. Growing up here at the Elderton Presbyterian Church, I could say that this church is intentional about community and family. They are intentional about missions as well. Today is Blanket Sunday, which is one of the mission Sundays and mission offerings that this church has to reach out beyond these walls. In my opinion, however, the number one thing that this church is intentional about is community. I think back very fondly to the memories I've made with many of you. The cantatas, practices, followed by fellowship at Rick and Vanessa Milliman's house. The work camp trips I took as a teenager. Vacation Bible school, youth group. Most importantly, the love that this church has for one another. It doesn't matter whether things are going well or things are not going well. The way you care for one another is special. And I know that this church is in the midst of finding a new pastor, but a new pastor is not going to change the way this church loves. It's my hope and prayer that a new pastor can bring new individuals to this church to experience Jesus and God. But the culture of stewardship and fellowship to one another will not change because this church is intentional about it. I wrote this message in January. And the reason why I wrote it in January is I wrote it while we were at a leaders retreat with New Life Students, which is the youth ministry that I'm working with. As a part of it, part of the weekend, we spent the weekend praying and by ourselves. And when I was in the room, I felt compelled to read and pray about this chapter in James. Well, I don't really read James a whole lot. The reason why I read James is because the youth pastor at the time asked me to speak at the youth group on James 4. So I read this, and I prayed about it, and I read it again, and I prayed about it. And James 4:8 really, really, really hit me. It says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." 5 years ago in September, I lost my mother to brain cancer. The only reason I know it was 5 years ago is because Reese was born 2 days after she went into a medically induced coma. On our final day, we took her off the ventilator, and my father, my brother, and I went to Pittsburgh to spend the day with her. Little did I know, I was about to see a miracle. So we talked, and we laughed, and we fellowshiped, and prayed. Around dinner time, Pastor Ed came and offered prayer for us. Usually, I close my eyes and focus on God. This time was different. I looked at my mom. As we're praying, Pastor Ed is talking. I'm looking at my mother, and she wakes up. She looks at me and my brother and says, "It's okay. I love you." Whoa. You know, I grew up in the church. I never questioned God until my mother had brain cancer. To be honest with you, I struggled I got mad at God. Pushed him off to the side. If I didn't go to church, it wasn't a big deal. If I didn't read my Bible, eh, whatever. I witnessed a miracle that day. My Father in heaven called me back home. I hadn't been drawing close to God. And then that one moment, he drew really, really close. God wants that relationship with us. In fact, he desires it, craves it. And we know this because of the words James uses. He will draw near. That's an action. Last time I was here, I spoke about action. This verse could have said, draw near to God and he'll forgive us. Or draw near to God and he'll save us. Both are true. But they're not actions with us. Because he's taking this action, he's with you all, always. We must be diligent and intentional about depositing God cash. We must be diligent and intentional about seeking to draw close to God. Because regardless of what you're going through, God's going to be there. And in the words of my late mother, he's going to say to you, it's okay. I love you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for these words. I ask that this truth would be spoken and evident. I ask that you would let these hearts have heard what you have wanted them to hear, Lord. I ask that my meditation and words are acceptable in your sight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand?